like just running with that and being like, well, if they're showing Eddie in this way, what does that mean about Eddie? Does this mean that our hero is the world's stupidest man? And then, like, when you start running with that, it starts becoming like a lot more entertaining.
Hey, good morning. This is Gina Versa. I'm here with Serving Up Comics. I'm your host, and we're going to be talking about Madam Web, which I'm very morbidly fascinated with. But I have some good friends, my very good friends from London, to talk about it. I have the host of That 90s Spider-Man. Firstly is my good friend Henry. Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I wish I could have seen about a week into the past so I could prevent myself from watching this movie.
But... Oh no, sorry about that. But yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then I have Jack, the other host of That 90s Spider-Man, a comic book enthusiast. He knows everything, and well, you know, like mostly everything. Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? I think I know everything about nothing, maybe, is okay. The best way of putting it.
Yeah.
So it's helpful today, because I know a few random facts about Madam Web.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. Henry, how do you feel about Madam Web? Because it's like, I feel like I've listened to an episode of That 90s Spider-Man show, and I think you might have... was that mentioned Madam Web in one of the recordings, and you're just like who is this character?
Well, I'm assuming you mean Madam Web as found in Spider-Man animated series.
Correct, yeah.
And I think honestly, like, the best thing I can say about Madam Web is that even Spider-Man is pissed that she's there.
Yeah.
She speaks like so in riddles all the time. She doesn't appear to be useful. And yeah, like, she's very annoying.
Yeah.
She's not as annoying as Morbius, but that's saying very little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She has a unique thing in the animated series, which is what our podcast is about, if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah.
But she gives her riddles and her, like, you know, predictions, but they're like so vague. Which is, you know, part and parcel of, like, the psychic trope or whatever. But she does that. But she's also very angry and aggressive all the time. So it's like she'll give something that doesn't quite make sense and then be really mad while she's giving it. And it's just, like, a very hostile presence in the show.
It's honestly like she's pretending to be psychic. Mm-hmm. So that when it actually happens, she can be like, oh, yeah, I meant that. But she could have meant, like, seven or eight different things at any given
time. Yeah, the two-headed dragon. Yeah, we knew that meant Norman Osborn was going to dress up like a goblin and then try and kill you, right?
Yeah.
What else could that possibly mean?
I know.
Going to send your girlfriend into another dimension. Obviously, yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's what she does. I was going to say, I love this. This is, if any listener has not listened to your... the podcast That 90s Spider-Man, this is a very good preview of how the recordings usually go, because it's like I love you guys on that show, because you guys are like so funny on it.
Thank you.
But tell us how you guys been doing. We'll go into like maybe like what we're reading or watching before we go into like full-on Madam Web talk. But yeah, sure. Henry, if you want to go first.
Oh, yeah, so where have I been? Well, like, so right now I'm home alone because my partner is out at a spa day with her mom. So I've, like, very briefly rekindled what it was like to be at home by myself. So you can't see it from here, but I've actually put on pants for the first time this week. And that's been great. I've had fun with that. They're a bit restricting, but I'll get used to it. Okay. And then beyond that, we actually have spent a lot of time, we've gotten to Mad Men, which is one of those shows which I've heard so much about, but I never really, like, it never really, like, gripped me, but this time, for some reason, it clicked. And then yesterday, I actually watched The Lighthouse for the first time.
Oh! And, I've been waiting for you to watch The Lighthouse for so long.
Oh my god.
You didn't
her
like
partner
it?
Also is like, she fucking hates The Lighthouse.
Oh no.
It made her mad, and she was like, you have to watch it without me. So I had to wait until she left so I could finally watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, what else can you really say, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry if it wasn't,
I mean,
wasn't the best. Yeah.
All I remember about that movie is coming out of it being like, I want to make as many people watch The Lighthouse as possible.
Yeah.
I understand that impulse, but I also like, you have to understand the destruction you're inflicting upon mankind.
It's
a lot. It's a lot.
It's all, there's certain scenes where I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. But you get like William Dafoe singing us sea shanties, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get Willem Dafoe farting.
Farts
that were on in the script.
Oh, is it? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So these are planned. These are planned farts from the auteur, you know, behind mm-hmm. the witch.
Yeah.
Some actors can cry on demand, but Willem Dafoe can fart on command. It's actually got him his role in Spider-Man.
Maybe. Yeah. Imagine, like, I'm just imagining a scene where the goblin gets hit by the glider, and it's like, just like farts. Just like,
it's that video is probably out there.
Yeah.
Sure. The Raimi memes.
Somewhere out there. What was it like when, was it supposedly like when the body dies, it just like, you know, a certain thing comes out at the very end?
Well, that's you know, his, I've forgotten the name, the assistant that he has, who between scenes
mm-hmm.
like undresses
Bernard
he undresses him so that like so the Harry can find him.
So
he had to deal with that. That guy dealt with a lot of bullshit.
You know what's funny for Bernard? Yeah, for Bernard in those three movies, like, he's in that first movie and he might be in the second movie, but you see him in the background of like Spider-Man 1. Like, he's around and they might say Bernard. Excuse me if my memory's not well or not remembering it correctly. But because it's like, I don't know, for Spider-Man 3, like, I like that scene with Bernard where he's like, your father died by his own hand. But it's also like, you're kind of like, who are you? You know?
Yeah. I mean, is that... you're like, this guy's so fired.
Yeah.
He's on one of the most important characters that no one can remember the name of.
Except me, yeah. Bernard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just had a realization, right? At the end of Spider-Man 3, right? Mild mm-hmm. spoilers, but like, Harry Osborn dies. And he has no next of kin. So does that mean that Bernard technically inherits the fortune?
That was the whole plan. So yeah. I'm not going to disseminate any of this information because this is, you know, he Doctor Strange like found the one future where he gets rich as fuck.
The brand Stark.
Wow. Future, yeah. Bernard's like, Bernard's like the secret mastermind of everything in the Raimi Spider-Mans.
I'm finding it very hard to resist the urge to start talking about Bernard's watch, which... I don't think does the states know about Bernard's watch?
No, I don't actually know.
Oh, it's a TV show about a kid called Bernard who has a time traveling stopwatch or time stopping
uh-huh.
stopwatch, and it's just like a staple for, you know, being like a British 90s kid.
Was that on the BBC?
Maybe. I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of the show.
There's no reason for you to have ever heard of it. I don't think even every like British person knows it.
Yeah, most British people have no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
That's not surprising, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you get back on track.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But we go off on tangents all the time on the podcast, so yeah, it's all right. But yeah, no, it's I wish The Lighthouse could have been better watch for everyone, but it's okay. It's not a movie, it's more of a experience. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's how we'll describe The Lighthouse. but Jack, what have you been watching or reading
I did something which I love to do and haven't done in a long time, which is just go to, because I'm living in a new area now. I've just moved to Canada.
Oh, congrats.
And this isn't the most important thing about moving to Canada, but it means that I'm near a new library, so I can go there and see what comics they have.
Oh.
I do recommend that for anyone, because you'd be surprised at how many they, things they'll stock in, things you can check out. And it's like how I first read stuff like The Dark Knight Returns and, like classics and stuff like
Nice.
that. And then so through that, I've been reading the new run of Fantastic Four, Ryan North,
Okay.
I believe. And that's really, really good. I really recommend that, because it's like very wholesome and like very good with the characters, but it's also like gets weird, like
Yeah.
weird and like kind of like little bits of horror in there.
Okay.
Reed's eyeball keeps coming out of his head and going into other things. It's disgusting, but
Oh.
it's a really good read. Yeah.
Jack, I'm sending me screenshots because I need
It No context, Fantastic Four. There you go.
it.
Precisely.
is that the comic where Dr. Doom takes like a bride?
No, well, I mean, maybe. I
Okay.
only
If I don't want to spoil it.
read the first volume,
Okay.
but Doctor Doom hasn't shown up yet.
All right.
But the Doombots have shown up. There's a story where they go to a town that is entirely full of Doombots in the US,
Okay.
including like, and it gets weird though, because it like turns out it was like some system that Doctor Doom made to serve and protect an old lady that helped him, because he's got that weird, like, he's a huge dick, but he has an honor system. And
Okay.
so he's like, I'm going to play this lifetime debt to this one nice old lady.
Oh.
But it's going to be involving Doombots, and then it gets haunted, basically. Haunted Doombots. It's pretty good,
That's
naturally.
yeah, that's cool. I love we were having a conversation the other day. You're like, how do you like comic books, like when you're describing the plots, like sound to like normal people? Like you'll go up to like your cousin and be like some random cousin or like family member and be like, oh yeah, I'm reading this, and they're just like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's easy for us to plug our sideshow Weird Lore Bullshit Corner, where I do that to Henry as a someone
Basically love it.
he's sporadically read comics,
Yeah.
so I can kind of go in and be like, yeah, do you know that, like, there's like 100 Kraven clones, and he made them all fight each other to see who
Yeah.
was the best son, and
And
that would
keep.
be like the least weird thing I'd tell him that episode.
Yeah. It
Yeah,
those are
91, but yeah, that's the end.
91, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love
that's great.
those I love the lore bullshit episodes. Those are amazing. Just so you guys know.
Oh, okay, good, good. They're like my favorite to do, although they do drive me crazy researching them, because
Yeah.
I end up
Yeah.
reading way too much,
Yeah.
stuff.
Oh. But you've also been reading Ultimate Spider-Man, correct?
Oh yeah. I haven't brought that up on any of the podcasts, yeah, but the new Jonathan Hickman reboot of Ultimate Spider-Man. We read the first volume of Ultimate Spider-Man, like the original,
Hmm.
on our Patreon, actually. So
Oh,
if
okay.
anyone wants to check that out, we've got like bonus episodes on there. So that's one of the few that Henry has read, and that was a big comic for me. That was like basically what got me into consistently reading comics when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And this new one is great, because I feel like it's meant, like, so far only 2 issues in, but it's a
Yeah,
slow
yeah,
burn,
yeah.
and it's like it feels like it's made for, like, you could read it as a child and understand it and everything, but I feel that there's a lot of adult themes in it,
Yeah. Yeah.
it's like a very like melancholic, and about family and about like waking up at like and you're I'm not sure how old he's
I
meant to
think
be, but
he's like 35, I think. Yeah.
so the just the quick summary for Henry, the he's because of plot shenanigans I won't go into,
Yeah. No,
basically something has happened which in that universe which has prevented him from becoming Spider-Man when he was supposed to. It was interfered with. So now he's becoming Spider-Man, but he's becoming Spider-Man as someone who's been Peter Parker until he's in his mid-30s. Now he's married and has kids. But he's got this feeling of like, I was meant to do something, like, and it hasn't happened, and I'm sleepwalking through life. But then now he gets to be Spider-Man, and it's like a really, you can That's see cool. how there would be themes in there that you would relate to,
yeah,
as a you know, someone in their 30s who talks about Spider-Man the animated series on a podcast.
Is it like a Spider midlife crisis?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, pretty Was much. It? Yeah, yeah.
So he
yeah.
like gets a divorce and like dates like a 20-year-old spider.
Hey, no spoilers. No spoilers.
Gotta like keep reading. Spider
convertible? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like not that specifically, but it kind of reminds me of like the Matrix almost with like Spider-Man, because it's
what was it called?
Resurrection.
Resurrections. Yeah. That is it. That kind of vibe, actually.
Because he's like, yeah, waking up. From his kind of like mundane life and like kind of like finding his like destiny.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been really enjoying it. Not to like talk about it too much, but yeah, I love it. I love like just the fact where the mythos are changed. Like, you know, I guess like little spoilers, like Ben is still alive, Ben Parker. And then he's like friends with like Jameson, and you get to see like Ben Parker and Jonah Jameson interact, which I don't think I've ever seen in a comic, and that's such an interesting dynamic. Because
you know, just a random thing, I've seen him interact in one comic.
Oh, what was it?
It's an obscure one. I can't remember who wrote it now, but there was in like 2010 or something. There was like a Spider-Man and the Secret Wars, which was like a retelling of the original Secret Wars from Spider-Man's point of view.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And during a point in that, he gets like a cosmic power.
Okay.
And can kind of recreate the universe around him. And there's a bit where like he keeps changing the universe so that Uncle Ben doesn't die, but Uncle Ben just keeps dying in different ways. It's really funny. And there's a point where he's like having a conversation with Jonah, basically walking down the street, and it's like he would say, like, while he's talking, he like saves Uncle Ben, and then it's like they carry on talking, and he like gets hit by a car.
It was very funny.
I do recommend that series.
That's funny. It's like, have you ever seen like there's this clip that keeps going viral of like the Brad Pitt movie? I think it's called like Meet Joe Black.
Oh yeah.
So you've seen it where it's like they keep looking at each other, like, and it's like this long cut, like a minute, and it's like this meaningful, like romantic scene, and then Brad Pitt gets hit by a car, like out of nowhere.
You've seen the full movie, haven't you, Henry?
I've seen the full movie, and honestly, like, you can turn off the TV after that moment.
Nonsense.
It is a great car crash moment in cinema history.
But Ultimate Spider-Man, definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. So cool. Yeah, I just hear what you had to say about that. But I guess kind of going right into it, kind of our first sort of topic, I guess this is like kind of subjective, just on everyone. Is there like, so the Sony cinematic universe, are there any good Sony Marvel movies? Is my question, because it's like, you know,
the in association era.
In association with Marvel, question mark. Yeah.
Well, I think, obviously, I think we're miscounting. We're not counting, rather, the Spider-Verse movies, because that would be the obvious thing to say. But
correct.
In terms of like the live action dirge of film, I think maybe the first Venom has its moments if you're not sober and you have a really low expectation for what a movie should and could be, you'll enjoy Venom without thinking it's good.
Okay.
But apart from that, it's just been like, it's been stinkers after stinkers, you know? Just
yeah. You don't like
parts escalating one after the other.
Yeah. You don't like Venom 2, though?
Don't like Venom 2.
Oh, darn.
Do you like Venom 2, Gene?
I actually do like Venom 2. I like Venom 2 like more than Venom 1.
Why is that?
It's just like I think like Andy Serkis gave it like personality that I felt was missing from that first movie. Not to say like the first movie is like completely like unwatchable, but it gets kind of like dull because it's like I want to say it's like 2 hours and some change. Like it's not like a 2.5 hour movie, but it's like 2 hours and like 10 minutes, and it's like there's like 30 minutes of that movie that you could cut out. And I felt like he gave it some personality. Like Carnage was done fairly well, I think. And like I loved all the symbiote stuff, actually, like the symbiote kind of going on his journey. I believe a lot of some people actually have like kind of felt in like that LGBTQ community that the symbiote has like kind of like a lot of like allegory for like coming out as well. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then just kind of like he lets like Venom be Venom, like too, like he's like kind of the lethal protector, like, you know, in that movie. Like he's not like, it's not like the perfect interpretation of Venom, because this is a Venom without Spider-Man, which is weird. But yeah. You know, I just, and then, you know, I just love all the weird sort of like funny bits in it, which I don't know, you don't really see that in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Like you have like kind of like dumb humor, like say in an MCU movie where it's like you know, like whatever, like Kang, you know, like Ant-Man Quantumania, you have like dumb like dick jokes, right? But like in you know, in Venom 2 you have like all this like weird stuff where Eddie and Venom are like riffing on each other, or just like hearing Tom Hardy's like weird symbiote voice where he's like Eddie, you know. It's very like endearing to me for some weird reason. So
I think like for me, like all these things have to be in the context of like, I think every one of them is like, every one of these like in association with movies are trash.
Yes.
Like I want to use the word trash because it's not always a bad thing in terms of entertainment. I think the first time I watched Venom, it was depressing to me. I just like really didn't like it. And then the second time I was like inebriated enough that it was a really fun time, and it kind of like unlocked it a bit, just like almost like living on like with the movie on its own terms, in terms of just like even when it's like even when it's not communicating its story very well,
yeah,
like just running with that and being like, well, if they're showing Eddie in this way, what does that mean about Eddie? Does this mean that our hero is the world's stupidest man? And then like when you start running with that, it starts becoming like a lot more entertaining. And I think that kind of runs into the second one a bit as well. Which I enjoyed more than Henry, but definitely less than you. But like I think it's probably a better movie than the first, but like
for sure.
But like less like enjoyable. Like it hasn't got like the moment of like him getting in the lobster tank, you know, where you're just like, what the hell is happening?
An iconic moment.
Yeah, and then Morbius, oh, I think is actually like, for all the memes about it, I think the memes are a coping mechanism for the people who watched it to make them feel as if they didn't waste time in their life, because it's not, I don't think it's like an entertaining watch. It's not so good it's bad or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's maybe like one or two lines where like Leto gives like a very wooden delivery, and it's a bit funny because it's very stilted, but for the most part it's just quite boring and got nothing really going on there. So like it's that's really bottom of the barrel for me because of that. Even like, see, if something isn't like, if you're not getting high quality cinema, you kind of want some like fun, you know, you want some like some crazy zany stuff going on, and Morbius does not have it.
I would say that like the reason that I maintain Venom is the only one of these that I actually like I wouldn't say like, but even, but like, I enjoy it because I would say it's the only one of these movies that is actually trying, you know?
Okay.
I think, like, most of the stuff in Venom was rejected by Brendan Fraser back in 2001, but at least, like, it was something that they thought, this might be good, let's try this. And I feel like ever since then, they've kind of thrown in the towel a bit, and there's nothing to say that, like, any sort of, not even love, but like effort, craftsmanship, like any sort of risks were taken with the property.
Are
And
you, Henry, are you positing that Monkey Bone is an adaptation of Venom?
I'm
Because
oh my
not positive.
God. I don't know if I've ever talked about Monkey Bone on this podcast, but I love Monkey Bone as well.
Monkey
You
Bone's
guys
great.
are You guys like Matt and Diego covered it
That's
for
right,
something,
yeah.
right?
I wasn't on it, but like,
Yeah.
yeah.
That movie's crazy. I really like that movie. It's just,
It's weird. It's very
yeah,
fucking
it's like
weird.
it's kind of full of bad ideas, but like it's
Yeah.
very
They commit to
entertaining.
those bad ideas. They go, let's give this a try. They swing at that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, whereas like these movies are just like bunts. They're bunts every time, you know, and they're like a run to first base, and then they get struck out in second. But like every time they're bunting these movies, and I think that's like probably my biggest sort of like grievance with them, really, is that like you didn't want to do this. Why should I watch it?
Personally, I think that there's an aspect to them why they're like the way I was thinking of it recently, actually, and this is how I kind of came into Madame Web, was this is like in like a long-running show, any long-running show where there's a like season one villain that comes back in a later season and then not as threatening anymore. And maybe they're actually like, you know, you're like, well, we can team up to defeat the real bad guy, who I guess in this is like, you know, Zaslav or like, you know, like a Disney conglomerate or something. Like, there's like a real, like, almost old school level of bad to them. Like, they feel like ideas that Avi Arad was pushing for in like 2003 and 2004, and no one wanted to make them, and somehow this stuff started getting through now. Like when Venom came out, my first thought was when they started announcing it, so I was like, this movie isn't going to come out. They've been talking about this for like decades. The time to make a Venom movie was like, you know,
After Spider-Man
after,
3,
yeah, after Spider-Man 3 was like the latest time. If you didn't double down then you're not going to do it. But then they did it, and I think part of the reason why people really Venom resonated with a lot of people was because it was like quite it was like different to the way that, like, you know, a lot of superhero movies can be disappointing now. Like, I think it was like, if I'm actually thinking about what a Venom movie could be, I do think it's crushingly disappointing. But if you don't think about that, then and you're comparing it to other stuff that was coming out, that yeah, maybe it looks a bit different. And all these feel like that they're kind of like locked in the past. They're all like early 2000s kind of schlock. And it's, yeah, it's weird.
They're almost like kind of like counter, well, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's like kind of like counter programming, like like for the Super Bowl, like they have like the Puppy Bowl, you know? Like if you don't like the Super Bowl, you can watch the Puppy Bowl, and it's like we're not good, but we're like the substitute, you know? Like or if like you know if like or if you can't, you know, it's like Coca-Cola and Shasta Cola. It's like if you don't want to spend like an extra dollar, we got Shasta Cola, you know?
And like, you know, in the same way that maybe you're a kid and someone will pick that up instead of Coca-Cola, like, you know, for their kids by accident, their kids are really disappointed, you know, because they didn't pick the right thing. They got the off-brand thing. But like,
Off
yeah,
brand, yeah.
in the same way that I think Dakota Johnson like joined this thinking she was gonna be like with Tom Holland in the MCU or something.
That's a question. Just a sidebar. Do you guys think she didn't read, maybe not like not read the, not like not read the script, but like didn't kind of understand the Sony Cinematic Universe is not related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Do you guys think that? Because it kind of felt like that.
I think it's telling that she fired her agent.
Yeah, that's.
I do. Yeah, she doesn't seem like. I think she's fascinating. Like, every interview I see with her, I'm like, I wish I liked any of the movies you've been in, because like, that she's just like, I don't know what's going on with Dakota Johnson, but like, she's got like a really interesting sense of humor, and is.
Chaotic.
She
She's
doesn't do
chaotic.
these interviews in a way you're quote unquote supposed to do them.
No.
She says things you're not meant to say, and I kind of like live for it. It is
Yeah,
great, but at the same time,
she got Ellen canceled too.
and she's making like, but like, she all these things are done in the most awkward way. So it's like you could half the internet will react like laughing at her, and half of them are like, no, she's like being hilarious and ironic and everything.
Yeah, it's
But I
she's
do think
chaotic,
with
yeah.
I do think with this, there is this distinct feeling that she wasn't fully aware of what she was doing, you know? But maybe the pitch was really good, because I don't know why Adam Scott is in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. As Ben
Going
Parker,
through a
spoilers.
divorce, needs
As
like another like story to his house.
yeah. Yeah, I don't I can't. I don't know what was going through his head. Maybe he just really likes Ben Parker. I don't know. But
I think
yeah.
he's probably the best part of the movie is Adam Scott. I
I
think he's
do
the best
I
part of
do yeah, I do think he's genuinely good in this. I don't think his
it.
character makes any sense as the
No.
movie goes on.
I don't know if that makes sense at all. But he's good, yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch on that when we go full on. But two really quick things, because this has bugged me, I guess, now for a couple days on the podcast. Who came up with the best description of the Sony Cinematic Universe? A terminally ill cash cow. Was it you or Henry?
Well, I have to ask Henry this, because I think it was Henry, but
Okay.
he's looking at me very confused right now.
I genuinely don't remember.
Yeah, someone
It's
came
a,
up.
it sounds like a Henryism, but maybe I just spent enough time around Henry that that's how I speak now.
Yeah,
It's
I should
definitely
type.
accurate, right?
It was, yeah. That's honestly like the best description I've ever heard of the Sony Cinematic Universe.
Like
Got a
Sort
mad
of
cash
the
cow disease.
I was exactly. I was looking for the way. I was looking
Oh
for the
God.
way to describe it. There you go.
Yeah,
You.
the bad cash kind of. God, you got. Oh my God. Well.
Because it doesn't quite make sense, does it? Like, it's not
Yeah.
like the most profitable way to be like
No.
rinsing people of their money. Because
Yeah.
it's not like this movie did particularly well,
No,
right?
God, it did poorly. I feel like they've lost money on these movies because it's like when they put more, or like, this one only had so much amount of money for opening weekend, but like also like I remember when people like trick Sony into like putting Morbius back into theaters, and like they're like, oh, okay, yeah, the people like it. And they're like, no, they did this as a joke. And then you lost money.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
probably
terminally
one
ill.
of the most successful like revolutionary consumer moments, which is kind of depressing in itself, but yeah, no, that was very funny that that happened. And I do think this movie deserves people's money more than Morbius ever did.
I think so. Henry's just like
Shaking his head.
shaking his head at the sorry. Well, I guess we'll get into that. I guess before we move on to like full-on Madam Web spoilers, is there any Sony Cinematic Universe movie excluding Spider-Verse Part 3, whenever that comes out, who knows, that you're looking forward to? Because as you guys said in your podcast, it was almost the year of Kraven, and we still have Kraven coming out this year.
I'm not prepared for Kraven.
Me neither.
I mean, to be honest, I wasn't excited about Madame Web at all. Like, the whole process of that, I was just in denial that it was actually coming out. And then But Kraven, I don't know why, but the Kraven movie is more upsetting to me. I
Really?
think like it's just more like I think Madame Web is enough of a weird idea that it the premise could support more of a movie. Kraven is only interesting because Stanley was smoking a joint and went, what if a Russian guy from Africa came over and started attacking Spider-Man with spears and animals and nets and stuff. And then Steve Ditko was like, I will make something out of that nonsense you just told me.
Got the
And
Marvel
then,
method.
yeah, exactly, the Marvel
Marvel.
method in action. And then, like, I mean, the recent Spider-Man 2 game did a good job of
That's
adapting Kraven, which gives me, I guess, a little bit of hope that you can make like a serious Kraven that isn't just rehashing Kraven's Last Hunt. Because I don't think that works as an introduction to a character.
No. Yeah, the game
It'll
did
be
it well for what it,
it did a good sort of version. But yeah, I just like doing it without Spider-Man is just
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me, because that's why it's interesting. There are certain villains which are interesting only because of the way they're clashing with a character. Kraven is mostly entertaining to have Spider-Man, his like frustration with him and him making fun of him, and then maybe Kraven like surprising him with like how he can actually outsmart him even though he's weaker. There's a fun dynamic there, but you take that out and I'm like, this is just it's like Morbius again, where it's like Spider-Man fights science vampire is actually a terrible idea in my opinion, but like I think the first time they fought, actually, also the lizard was there, and also it was during the era the arc where he had six arms. And not Morbius's first appearance, but like his first meeting with Spider-Man. And so there was already in that story, like, let's throw in some other elements, I don't think these things work on their own. And so Kraven is man, like I think the year of Kraven is 2023, because it's just nothing, like if Spider-Man's not going to show up in the Kraven movie, then Kraven isn't going to show up in the year of Kraven.
I have a theory, right? So we've already established more or less that Venom is basically monkey bone. And we'll get to Madame Web, but I reckon Madame Web is basically the plot of the Nicolas Cage movie Next. Actually, So I reckon that the Kraven movie is probably going to be like a really edgy version of Dr. Doolittle.
Talks to
But like the Eddie
animals.
Murphy one, not the Robert Downey Jr. one.
God.
I mean, it's hard to like extrapolate from those first two things, what the next series is in the pan. If you go Monkey Bone to 2007 Nicolas Cage movie, like I'm not sure what the next step is.
Oh my
But
God.
I think it's just rejected the scripts from the early 2000s.
Yeah,
Like
because
they were flying around in like studios and they were like, well, ditch the script and go with this one. They're too similar. And then Avi-Arad is just hoovering them up and being like, how can we make this work in modern day?
God. Avi Arad is like a madman. It scares me that he's gonna adapt Legend of Zelda. It's terrifying.
He's a true villain of
No,
this
true villain. Yeah, he's crazy.
show.
Yeah, the devil works hard, but Avi Arad works harder. But
I
yeah,
mean he definitely has a vision.
he has
I'll
a
give him
vision.
that.
Crazy,
But yeah, no, I mean I don't know, because
yes.
like with Kraven, what I guess it's like, well, you wanna do sexy Kraven. You wanna what? Okay, I don't know who the subject of these sentences are. Like the Avi
Okay,
Arad. I'm Avi Arad pitching this. You
he knows
want a
his
sexy
audience.
Kraven. You want a and you want them to. I think you actually, Henry, actually, like back when Kraven the movie was more of a rumor, we brought it up in our podcast and like early on in our podcast, I think Henry like just predicted the movie because he was saying it's gonna like they're not gonna he's gonna be like an animal rights guy. He's gonna be like coming from that angle more. And I can see them doing that because they're thinking like, well, is it likable for a man to punch a gorilla in the stomach and overpower it? It's like, that's just like actually maybe the gorilla's his friend, he's like protecting the gorilla and he's gonna be going after poachers or something.
Like,
Maybe Dr. Demetral, maybe the zookeeper.
yeah, or like Tarzan,
Although at the same time, right, like there's been some Kraven comic stories where they make use of the animal aspect by being like, hey, we've got all these animal themed supervillains, so let's do something with that. Like he's hunting them. And if that happens in the game as well, where it's like he's going after like
Black Cat.
Vulture and Scorpion and stuff like that. So it could be a they could see it as an opportunity to cram in some of those villains. Maybe Paul Giamatti comes back.
Yeah, as the rhino. Yeah, the rhino is in the movie apparently.
For
But
real?
yeah, I guess yeah. I don't know if that's spoiler. Spoiler. I don't know if you guys will see it, but yeah, he's in the movie.
I feel
Hops
like
in the
these
movie.
movies are spoiler proof. I don't.
Yeah, it's like he
It's the one aspect of these things where I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Tell me what's
goes.
going on.
Yeah.
It might save you from having to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But one last thing before we talk about Madame Web, which I promise we will. I'm just gonna list the current slate of Sony movies because I'm like, who's looking forward to it? It's these are still apparently being developed. Who knows if they'll happen? Sinister Six, Night Watch, Jackpot. God, sorry, I'm making you guys mad. Untitled Robert Orci project, which Magic Blood.
The worst one.
That's oh no, we're still going. There's Magic Blood, probably. Untitled Olivia Wilde project. Maybe it might be
Oh,
Spider-Woman.
okay.
I kind of want to look forward to that because it's like the movie wasn't so good, but everything behind the scenes of Don't Worry, Darling was very entertaining. All the lore.
I like Booksmart as well.
Booksmart. Yeah, it was actually a good movie. Yeah, she's pretty talented as a director, outside of all the memes and drama. El Morto, which doesn't have Bad Bunny apparently, which is like the reason they developed it. This one actually maybe I'm like kind of Untitled Hypno Hustler, which Donald Glover might be maybe.
I was about to say I don't think that's going to come out. And you said Donald Glover, and I'm like, if Donald Glover wanted a Hypno Hustler movie to come out, maybe it would,
Maybe.
Maybe it shouldn't, but it would.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? And the last one, Mysterio.
I again, yeah, Mysterio. I don't know why I'd want to see Mysterio not going up against,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man or even Daredevil or something like.
Anyone.
Wow, that's quite the list. I don't think personally. I would go as far as to say I don't think any of those movies are going to come out. But I think the one that has a chance is Sinister Six because that's just lingered around for so long. And there are a few ways to do a good Sinister Six movie. The obvious way that they probably won't do because it's the obvious interesting way would be to adapt Superior Foes of Spider-Man,
I like
where
that
it,
comic,
yeah, which is for Henry, I don't believe you would know. It's kind of like they. It's from the perspective. It's a comic from the perspective of like low rent Spider-Man villains, people like Shocker, so it's not the original lineup, and it's kind of like a comedy, from that point of view of them sort of taking on the mantle and everything, and there's been different versions of that sort of dynamic. I think if you're going to make a movie, that would be the obvious way to do it. Because if you're doing it with the classic lineup, then obviously Spider-Man should be involved in some capacity, and I don't think he would be, you know? I mean, you could do a Sinister Six movie in terms of, like, Spider-Man, colon, Sinister Six, or something like that. Like, and make them the focus of the movie, where Tom Holland isn't, like... It's not, like, his story, necessarily. There's probably something you could do with that, but I really feel like they're just going to do, like... Well, it would be the Sony Six, right? With with Morbius and Vulture.
Vulture, Kraven. Who else do they got? Maybe Venom. Probably, Venom's their star. God knows who else.
Carnage's beheaded corpse.
It's going to be dealer's choice, whoever will be in there. It's going to be, like, the most randomest of people. It'll be, like, the Rhino and, like, Hypno Hustler.
That'll be when Avi Arad makes his live-action debut, playing himself.
Playing himself.
As the ringleader.
Yeah, you know.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm actually, like, kind of into the idea of a Mysterio movie, but only in the situation where it's, like, Jake Gyllenhaal again. Yeah. And it's like kind of like an El Camino thing of, like, how he faked his death after Far From Home.
Yeah. I do like the idea of seeing Mysterio come back in some capacity.
He was almost going to come back in Far From or No Way Home.
I think that would have made a lot of sense, to be honest, for that movie to have an antagonist, really.
It was. So I don't think it's ever been confirmed, but, like, the most best kind of logical reasoning, he would have been a variant at the very end somehow when the worlds were doing all that, but we'll never know because that movie went through rewrites every single day of every single shooting day.
Well, there's comic precedent for Mysterio faking his death in a way that makes, like, no sense whatsoever. He shoots himself in the head at one point in
Daredevil,
and comes back, you know, like, just kidding. He's the character to do that kind of thing with, you know.
Made a much better No Way Home, not gonna lie.
Comics are weird. Comics are weird. And with and with that statement, transition to our very last topic, which finally got to. Madame Web came out Valentine's Day weekend. I don't know if anyone took a date to go see it, but maybe it was the movie to take a date to. And I guess, like, let's go into it. This movie was terrible. This movie was awful. And it's kind of endearing. And it's so awful. It's funny, like The Room. If anyone's seen that, it kind of reminds me of that. Or like a Mystery Science Theater movie. Or kind of like a campy movie. But, like, this was not very good. So,
yeah, I want to jump on that as well, because I think, like, I do think personally, I think it's a so bad it's good movie. I think if you have a group of friends and you're not taking it very seriously, this would be a really fun time. I also think, but, like, aside from that part of it, I think it's actually kind of, like, good to compare it to The Room, because The Room is a movie which, aside from the memes and, like, the everything about it is terrible, there is a story in there that he's trying and failing to execute. You know, he's trying to do, like, a Tennessee Williams kind of, like, deep romantic, like, tragedy, and he's not pulling it off. And I think in the same way that here, you can kind of, you can see what they're doing. You know, it's not like it's completely, like, it's not meandering necessarily. It's like doing one thing. It's just like, it's like a Frankenstein, like, you know, it's built that story out of so many weird different badly executed elements that it comes together, and it just, like, I mean I think I might be the only one on this this podcast to say it, but, like, I really enjoyed Madam Web.
I had a
great time.
For all of 2 hours.
I think it kind of flew by. But I also think that, like, on the flip side, I think I got a couple of messages from, I watched it before Henry, and when he watched it, I was trying to, I didn't want to like hype it or anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'd just like, just tell me when you watched it. And then
Yeah.
he sent me some like, I think like I almost felt bad, like I'd done something bad to him. He seemed like
Oh.
deeply, deeply depressed
Oh no.
by that movie.
Henry, what did you think of Adam Webb?
So it's funny you say that it's actually a Valentine's Day like special, if you will. So I'm gonna tell you a bit about the story about how I came to watch Madame Web because I think it's more interesting than talking about the movie. But basically, that Saturday, my partner, she actually paid for me to go and watch Madame Web somewhere else without her. And
I
for
think she
whatever
was
reason,
breaking up with you. That's how
yeah,
they do it
but she
these
got
days.
sick.
Why
And
don't
she got
you go
sick on
see
the same
Madame
day.
Webb throws money at you?
Yeah, go see
Is
Madame Web, you bastard. Cheating
that
dog,
like in the
whatever.
Simpsons where Bart like throws flowers? Is it go eat some flowers?
Flowers. My secret shame. It is my secret shame. But yeah, so that being said, we ended up not going. And then what I ended up doing, which is my original plan, was to basically torrent it. And I had a camera rip. It was a really bad camera rip. Like to the point where the person
Gosh.
like where the person taking the recording of it was had a cold, so they were coughing and sneezing throughout this
Oh
entire like
no.
recording.
Okay.
And there'd be people like you could see people walking out of the cinema as it was happening. And every 20 minutes it would stop the movie to give me like a betting ad.
Okay. Wow.
And honestly, like it was exactly the kind of experience that I wanted to have watching Madame Web because those were my favorite parts of watching the movie was all the shit around it because I don't know if it's obvious, but I kind of disagree that it's so bad it's good.
Okay, no, it's
I
fair.
think the thing that makes The Room and like Man's Hand of Fate, Hands of Fate and all these like really fun bad movies like fun to watch is that like you can tell that somebody is trying. They're failing, sure, but they're like taking like they're really they want to make something that's good, but like I found all of this just so incredibly low effort. There's so much here that like is at best derivative of like a movie from 20 years ago and not even a good movie from 20 years ago, like I kind of mentioned next, which is it's not good at all, but like at least it stuck to its premise and tried to do something with it. Whereas this, like, they told me what was happening in the movie, but they kind of like trailed off mid-sentence.
Like Grandpa Simpson telling like a old story.
I mean, it's weird because I do think the secret to a good bad movie, like you said, is trying. If you see someone try and fail, it's more endearing.
Yeah, it's admirable at least,
And
you
I
know?
don't know what it is about this film that I think that I agree that I don't think that I think it is very cynical, in a way. You can tell like there's so many it's very clear you can see the pitch meeting, that like you get like halfway through, right? And then I was just like, oh, they're doing like totally spies. Like they're trying to like get like a young female audience. And that's why they're like that's how we can use the fact that we've got these sort of free Spider Women characters that we're not using for anything.
They never become the spider superheroes in the whole
Exactly.
movie, only in
Yeah,
dream
like
sequence future sequences, which are two scenes.
that was the most
That's
insane thing.
insane.
That is
That's
insane.
insane.
I mean, for one thing, it's a lie that those trailers were lying. Because it's just like that doesn't happen. But it's also kind of like from a shithead producer point of view, kind of genius in that like we can advertise a movie that has like super powered like spider people in it. They're not really in it. We can instead of doing a post credit scene of what the next thing would be, we can integrate the post credit into the movie as a like vision of the future. And then we can also not actually really commit to the costumes or the set pieces,
yeah,
because we can use a costume test mm-hmm. as the scenes in the movie. The
scene, yeah, save money.
And that's why those scenes kind of play like, you know, like high effort cosplay rather yeah. than like actual yeah. like, you know,
yeah,
movie
like a TikTok. I was
shit.
Yeah, they're not good. I was gonna say I might know someone that, or excuse me, I know someone that worked on some of those trailers and promos, and you know, they were having very, they might have had a, without saying, you know, too much, but that was a little difficult trying to get in the you know, more costume shots in the trailer. So yeah,
it is interesting though, because I do remember seeing the trailer and being like, why are those scenes shot like this? They have this weird sort of like veneer over them, like it's a bit blurry and everything. Mm-hmm. And then it's of course because in that scene it's a vision that Ezekiel is seeing
yeah.
of the future.
Yeah.
So it looks a bit warped and weird because it's a vision.
Uh-huh.
And that's why those are the only scenes in that trailer that look like that.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, just to interject, I should probably touch on that. Ezekiel Sims, I don't know, like, he's dubbed the whole movie. That's another insane thing. Like, he had, like, someone, yeah. they dubbed over his voice, and that's character.
That was a good... That honestly, that's a primary reason why I enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I think the dubbing is the worst dubbing I've probably ever seen in a movie this big.
It's so bad.
But like to the, it did remind me a bit of the, I mean, just to throw like the 20th Simpsons reference in.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
The Krusty the Clown, like bada bing, bada boom. That's how it's done, kids, you know, like coming in and doing his lines and then leaving.
Yeah.
But like, I also found like there was a, they were, it almost felt like I could understand what he was saying and everything.
Yeah.
But it felt like I could see the director off camera being like, I didn't understand that, and making him say it 100 times. And the 100th take where he's a bit pissed off and he's over enunciating every single word is the one they use, because everything he said is said so strange. And it's crazy because I want, like, it's important to know for anyone who doesn't know him, Tahar Rahim is an incredible actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's if anyone checks out A Prophet, he's amazing in that. He's also in a movie called The Pass by Asghar Farhadi. Oh. That is really good. Like, he's a very good nuanced actor. And here, he is so strange. Everything he says is, I couldn't get out of my head him just like, you know, the power of the spider.
Yeah.
Like everything, like that, yeah. Everything was so strange.
Yeah,
and
it's so weird.
It was, and you add that with like the strange, like,
direction.
Blunt exposition in the dialogue and stuff, like it was like really surreal.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's like when you're saying he did it for like 100 times, it's like we did the Jiminy Jilliker scene 60 times. It's not gonna get any better. Another Simpsons reference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that whole way through that movie, like you say, the ADR is so bad. Like there are moments when like his mouth isn't even moving as like sounds come out and stuff like that. But like the bigger problem really is that like all of his dialogue is terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
And they make him say it, like they give him like, the worst edit of each one. And not necessarily a bad thing to do it like, loads of time. Like if you think about Heat, Al Pacino's like great ass line was
great
apparently
ass.
Like the result of Michael Mann like drumming it into him over hundreds and hundreds of takes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily all bad, but like it's just
Did he aggravate Al Pacino so much that he acted that way for the rest of his life?
Me? Yeah, he scarred him.
He's broken.
He's traumatized by being on set.
Yeah.
It was a direct line from that to Dunkachino's.
God. Mm. Another Sony movie, Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
Crazy man.
Part of
the Sonyverse. It's sad. I don't know if this is a controversial statement, but Sony, maybe the best studio right now, outside of the Spider Sony Cinematic Universe. They have some like pretty solid releases, I would say.
Yeah, well, also like not much of a bar to clear
Yeah, yeah. They're less crazy than Warner Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're not actively writing off movies for tax reasons.
Well, you know, they just
as far as I know.
Yeah, as far as we know, they just make bad Spider-Man movies, which, hey, you know, compared to everyone else, compared to David Zaslav, not so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, that going back to that analogy of, like, the season one villain coming back, because it's like, it just feels low stakes to just have a dumb movie like this. Like, and it does, if this especially feels like it's from that era, I think there's also something about them, like, as far as I could tell, like a lot of like shooting on location in New York.
Yeah. Even green screens.
Yeah. And it like, it kind of like, okay, this is going to sound like, you know, blasphemy. It reminded me of the Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
They reuse shots from the Raimi movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's purely like seeing those buildings again shot. Yeah. In real life, it was like, oh, I haven't seen this for a while. And it kind of like made it feel like this was happening actually in that same universe, which makes me wonder if that was like partly deliberate because originally it was explicitly going to be at certain points in production, they were like, this is a Raimi, like, you know, like this is, because it is weird, like 2003 to choose that as a year is weird. But then also like, They call this weird stuff with Peter Parker being born, and they're gonna remind you that a Parker is being born just around the corner. I'm gonna keep reminding you that's gonna happen, but we're also not going to confirm it either.
Yeah.
It's so strange. I understand.
I'll have to say it off camera, but there was apparently more of that. That got cut. I'll say it off camera because
it's so weird.
Yeah,
I will say that the baby shower scene was probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh yeah,
I think they should like. I do think that there are movie that the thing that I think elevates this movie into making me enjoy it more. I think there are segments, there are sequences in it where it was actually kind of successful. There's a couple of like set pieces that or uses of her power that I think were like paced kind of well, or like I do think that is better than Next. Next is terrible.
Yeah,
I do think that they do the dynamic of seeing into the immediate future a little bit better, but I do think
they do it in an interesting way.
Yeah. And I could see how that's enough maybe to pitch this as a kind of like a thriller in that way. And then I think there were a couple of bits here and there. I think the baby shower is great of just like, for two reasons. I think it's great because I think the Dakota Johnson as a awkward human in real life.
Yeah.
He's really good at selling being an awkward human who doesn't want to be at a baby shower and having to like do that social convention.
Yeah.
I think she sold that. Yeah. But at the same time, the funny thing about that, right, is she gets her powers. Well, no, I'm not going to go into where she gets her powers from, but she has the car crash where she first, like, starts experiencing weird stuff in the future. She like falls into the river on a car and somehow is brought back by CPR.
Yeah, because she was as a child, I guess, because we haven't even touched on the spider people. She was her mom was saved by spider people in the Amazon. We haven't even touched on that, but that's another insane thing. They're literally look like Spider-Man, but they're a tribe in like the Amazon.
Yeah,
giving Henry a headache. I'm sorry,
but when she gets this power, and it is interesting. I do think if you experience that power,
yes,
the first thing you're gonna think is like, you know, oh, I've, you know, there's something wrong with me, or like I'm just getting crazy deja vu.
Yeah.
So seeing her in a social situation where it's just like someone would say something and then it would just cut to her being like, "You just said that," and then horrible, awkward silence where everyone is like, "Why is she like acting so strangely?"
Yeah,
But
it's.
which is funny, but on the other end of things, I was thinking like, as far as Adam Scott knows, she has a horrible concussion.
Yeah.
Like she should be in a hospital, and then they go
She almost
straight to this
died.
like this social event,
Yeah, he's
and then
like.
she's there, and it's like she's saying stuff that doesn't make sense. She doesn't understand what's happening around her. She
Yeah.
keeps things. She's saying, "Oh, didn't this just happen?" Like you would be like, "I need to take my friend to the doctor,"
Go,
but
yeah.
instead,
ER room.
not only does he like is not bothered by this, but then like an hour later in the movie, she turns up. Like after being on the news for kidnapping three women, and he's like, "Can they stay at your house?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure."
And she steals a taxi.
Yeah, and he's
Never
like,
gives
"I'll
back
let
that taxi.
your friend has a brain injury, bro."
He's supposed to be Ben Parker too. Power and responsibility. That's not
He
very
hasn't really learned the
responsible.
responsibility stuff yet, really.
Yeah. Oh
Okay.
man. I love the moments where they keep like dipping their toe in like the lore, where it's like he almost says like with great power comes great responsibility, or like they almost say Peter Parker at the baby shower that this is the baby that may Mary Parker is supposed to have, and you're like, this movie's insane.
I
Yeah, I
mean, it's the
guess.
idea of that so that they can mean that, like, because Madame Web in the comics is there's a whole thing where more recently a different person took the Madame Web
Oh, okay.
mantle, so she is Dakota Johnson's sort of age, but in the cartoon and also like in most of the comics, she's an old woman. So is there like, well, in 20 years' time, Dakota Johnson isn't gonna be like, gray hair old lady. But is the idea that by time Peter Parker is Spider-Man, that they would have an old Madame Web?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the idea?
I guess. I don't know the logic because, yeah, it's.
I think they had like a runtime they needed to fill up, and they were like, "Why not have like a whole pregnancy subplot?"
Yeah, pregnancy subplot, and then it's also like she loses her sight and mobility at the end
What the
too.
fuck happened there? So can
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
catching
She got
everything.
hit in the head with a
Yeah, and
firework
she fell in the
with a flare.
ocean. Yeah.
But underwater, one. And B, like, it wouldn't cause you to, like, I don't know, completely lose control of your body, right? Or at
Yeah,
least they have a scene where, like, this is what happened. They just go, "Yeah, no, you know the story.
it
She's
is
now in a
strange.
wheelchair." It
Yeah,
is strange because you don't want to like not to say that like blindness or lack of mobility as a disability is a bad thing,
yeah,
but it is like something to be ashamed of or anything like that. But it is weird how both those things are presented in the movie in like celebratory moments,
Oh yeah.
because they bring her back with CPR. Like maybe we'll get into the CPR in a second, but
Yeah.
they bring her
Maybe
back
not.
to life, and her eyes, she's clear, she's gone blind, and everyone's like, "Yay!" Like, and then the next scene, it's like, also she's in a wheelchair, but it's like this cool, like, hero shot
Futuristic, yeah,
moment.
futuristic
And
wheelchair looks like Professor X too.
yeah, and then it's like,
Yeah.
that was the moment for me where I was like, "Oh, she's Charlie. This is Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
That's what they're
Sure.
pitching the sequel to be."
That's the real movie that we're waiting for.
Yeah.
But like,
They're trying.
physiologically, I don't understand how you get hit in the head with a firework and end up paralyzed. Like, I understand
The
maybe
impact? Yeah.
she went blind, but
Yeah.
then again, like,
Maybe it was
I just
hitting
don't
the
understand how this
water.
works.
Water?
Oh,
I don't.
also should just point out while we're in spoiler territory,
Yeah.
the villain died by Pepsi
Oh yeah.
sign
Yeah.
falling on
Pepsi
him.
Cola, God. It's
We're following up another scene of the baby shower where she's just holding a Pepsi
Pepsi.
can
It's
in
a
the middle of
tear.
the frame, and they've
Yeah.
turned the contrast up so it's like this glowing blue Pepsi
It's the 2003 logo too.
Oh,
Man,
that's neat.
I love all the 2003 references. They're like, oh, no, I need to go home, watch TiVo, to watch American Idol, and then there's like a giant there was an ad for like a Beyonce. Yep, that was like so crazy. There was like a 9/11 poster. It was just like, this is a crazy movie. But I guess we're kind of short on time. Sorry to wrap this up because this has been really fun.
There's too much to talk about.
This could be like a 2-hour podcast, but unfortunately, a little pressed. But gentlemen, any last thoughts on Madam Web to just kind of make a final statement?
I want to say, like, of all these, like, I think Dakota Johnson, I don't, like, looking at all the press stuff she did around this, she's, like, playing it a certain way, but, like, I think she's, like, I'm impressed by how bad she is in this movie.
Oh.
Like, taking out all, like, the supernatural stuff, like, the Cassie Webb is an asshole. She's, like, a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, someone who works
true to the cartoon,
regularly...
I guess.
Sorry?
True to the cartoon, I guess.
Yeah, I guess true to the cartoon. But like, as a paramedic, right? She's remarkably flippant about death. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't like. She's been in situations where she's saved lives, and like, she has no ability to empathize with other people. She doesn't appear to know how to make friends. Like, even in the scene where like, she's with that cat, and he's like, "Well, we're both orphans, right?" I'm like, no, that cat probably would give it a nice home and it would be fine, but you cannot be with other people. You know, and I think, like, the one thing I will say for this movie is that, like, with anybody else, this wouldn't work, but because it's her, because of the way she plays this character, and not for, like, not by design, almost by accident, like, it makes it watchable, but I'm mad all over again thinking about this movie, and you should not go see it if this is like a recommendation sort of thing. It's
yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah, that sums it up. That sums it up pretty well. Jack,
you should go see this movie.
Oh man,
I think yeah. Wait for it to be streaming or something like that. Okay. I don't think this movie deserves money. I don't think that I don't want it to like make I don't money. Want them to make a Madam Web 2 and keep making these decisions. I think this is just a unique movie where so many bad decisions were made behind and in front of the camera, and the movie is like, you know, 1 minute there'll be a slightly exciting sequence, the next minute it'll be directed so poorly that you don't know what's going on. Like, it's all over the place, and it's just, but it's so strange. And I think camp is the word for it. I think that, like, there is a chance that this could become like a camp classic, really. Like, it's that level of like just delightfully over the top, weird, and bad. But, you know, time will tell on that. I had a lot of fun with it, you know, obviously that's not going to work for everyone. But I think if you're going to watch a movie with some friends and you're like, your choice is between this and Morbius, put this on.
Mm-hmm.
This will forget about Morbius. Let's just talk about Madam Web now instead. It can take that slot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know though. If there's a choice between like being at home with some friends and watching Morbius or Madam Web, I think it's time for everyone to go home.
Everyone's too
it's
drunk.
Get out of my house time. You know?
It's like, get the fuck out. It's like, everyone's too drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This evening is over.
Man, well, I guess that's a good statement to go out on. You could say this movie was chaotic, like Dakota Johnson. See it at your own risk. This was a fun, chaotic too recording, like Dakota Johnson. You know, it was really good to have you guys on. I know we live in like 3 countries, but you guys are my really good friends. Love you guys, and it's always nice to see you and like talk about weird, dumb movies and weird little weird lore bullshit on this podcast. And yeah, you know, it was such a pleasure to have you guys on again.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's always fun. It's always fun.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure to be here. And like, if you want to talk about weird bullshit, we got your guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So plugs. Anyone want to promote anything? Anything to follow you at?
Yeah. Well, That 90s Spider-Man Show is our podcast. We talk about Spider-Man the Animated Series episode by episode, but we also, I bring the comic lore. So we have side episodes where we go into the weird stuff that happens in the comics. I try and surprise and confuse Henry with. And then we also have a Patreon with bonus episodes and a Discord where we, you know, just talk shit about stuff and share memes and stuff. Gene is there.
I share some really dumb memes on there, so it's a really good Discord. That what is it called again?
Henry, do you want to see what it's called?
The Radioactive Spider Hole.
There you go. Yeah,
highly.
I'll open that hole. Just open
them. Highly recommend that Discord. Join it. Yeah. Join the fun. And then, you know, I highly recommend your guys' podcast because you guys are amazing on it. I still need to finish the 5th anniversary, but I will.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
That was a great episode. Yeah.
Oh, that's one last thing that I always forget to do is check out No Contact Spider-Man, which is I have it on Instagram and Blue Sky and Twitter. Just post weird, funny, out of context panels from Spider-Man comics, and that's it. But if you just want like your little dose of that kind of thing, then you can follow those.
Yeah. Definitely follow that. And then, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to give out any socials or anything, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you're not on any socials, Henry. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Because I'm just like a grandma now, you know. Oh. I post racist memes on Facebook. That's
yeah.
Well, the podcast is that 90s SM show on pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. Also I'm on Blue Sky at J Alex G. Blue Sky URLs are really confusing, so I don't know what to say more than that.
I'm Blue Sky. I'm Blue Sky. Yeah,
it's on Blue Sky.
Somewhere. Yeah, we'll put it on the description. No, this was a blast. Good to have you guys on again. I know this was like such a going from many places in the conversation, but it'll all make sense if you listen to it. But yeah, you could find me, maybe, yeah. You could find me on Twitter and Instagram, Gene9892. You could follow the Waffle Press on Instagram at the Waffle Press Podcast, on Twitter for however long that is at the Waffle Press. Serving Up Comics is the @ for this specific podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, all the platforms. Please like, share, subscribe. If there's something you don't like it anyway. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We've been professionally unprofessional.